Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
And now, a Blaze Media podcast.
Welcome to Chewing the Fat, Monday edition. Those of you listening live, February 3rd, 2020. I want to lead with our mistakes. It's what we do here on Chewing the Fat and the Blaze television and radio network. I want to apologize for a mistake that was broadcast on this very show. We said goodbye to the lady who just passed away last week, the oldest woman on earth, 127 years old. However, we said on the podcast that we found audio from her, and we played the audio. It came to my attention over the weekend that... this was not the 127-year-old lady. I know. So we spent the weekend when you heard... thinking that it was her. No, it was the 3,000-year-old Egyptian priest, Nessie Yaman. And he said his departing wish was to be allowed to speak in the afterlife so he could address his gods and be granted entry into eternity. So, let's hope that this has happened for the great Egyptian priest. Again, I'm sorry. I have a question that I don't know if I'm going to get an answer today, but if you're listening live to the podcast, 888-900-3393 is the phone number, or you can, you know, just email me, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can tweet me at JeffyJFR, Facebook me, Jeff Fisher Radio, Instagram me, Jeff Fisher Radio. How long can you drive in your automobile when you've got a huge crack all the way through the front windshield? Can you drive for a couple of days, a week, a month?
Until the next thing hits your windshield.
And then you're good.
Then you're good.
So I'm fine. No problem. Don't worry about it.
Well, you have a crack on your windshield?
So I get in the car. I've got this. You can see where some sort of, I guess, rock hit the windshield, which I wasn't aware of. But when I came out to get in the car, it's this huge crack.
I want to.
All the way through the front of the windshield.
As your official lawyer, I want to have you to keep your mouth shut, because I feel like on your way home today,
that thing is
there's going to be a truck that something fell off and hit and cracked your window, and you need to call that number on the back and say, hey, one of your trucks just cracked my window.
Okay, side note, the insurance covers it. So.
Again, there's a truck right here. On that whatever thing.
So
is.
I called the insurance and I'm like, I'm coming in. You know,
they hooked me up.
Well, you can go there too.
And such a boomer.
You know, just stop. There was nothing available this morning except to go in. Okay? So I went in. No problem. Got the windshield, I'm good to go. It's going to take a couple hours, maybe. I'm hoping for, you know, an hour, hour and a half tops. And they pull it out, and there's an issue with the replacement windshield.
Oh, no.
I know.
Another crack on that one, too?
You know, some kind, there was a mark going through it. It could be manufacturing. It might be you know, a Chinese windshield. I don't know.
Oh, the Corona Chinese.
Could be the Corona windshield. I don't know. So now they're coming out. I was like, well, I'm, you know, you're sending one of your boys out now.
So you
or
still
females.
Haven't
I don't care
gotten
who.
A fix.
Correct. But okay. if that thing, I keep thinking that it's just going to.
No, I don't think windshields work that way, though. They're more sturdier than that.
Well, I'll go by what you say.
Yeah. Have you not driven by Florida and you see all those cracked windshields?
From the rock haulers?
Yes.
Yeah.
You still got time.
No, I hope so. Because, I mean, the crack is, it's not like, hey, a rock hit my window and there's a little breakage. It's like, there's where
from
the rock hit it, and it's from the top all the way down to the bottom.
Passenger?
Circle. Like in the middle.
Driver. Oh, in the middle. Ooh.
I know.
Integrity. Hold on. You didn't tell me what's in the middle. I thought it was just, you know, like a crack that was like on the.
No, because like, I think that at some point, it's just going to break down in.
Break half into the middle. Yeah. In the middle, that's integrity of the windshield.
And, I mean.
Who are you suing? Who do you sue? The truck?
Well,
or
now,
the
now, it's now it's the
oh, the
windshield
the
place.
Yeah, the fixer
and the insurance company.
Yeah,
for not making it. I mean, they attempted to make it right and didn't.
They didn't even put like at least try to put like that glue thing.
It was just like, hey, nah, look at this. This one's windshield screwed up too. So, I mean, we can try to get you another one in here today. Be you know, I don't know when they can deliver it.
I think the best bet for you is to drive with a tarp. On your lap or like on the,
I laugh.
On the console.
I'm going to be doing that.
You just put a tarp on the console. As soon as you see that thing coming, just lift it up and then push.
Then I'm safe.
Then you're safe.
Then I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Good. Or you can just tarp it up now and then you just put little holes and you'd be like a Muslim car. Either or. It works for the Muslims. It could work for you.
It doesn't, though.
No, but they... No?
No.
Oh, that's $1 million idea right there, then. You're tired of wearing your thing, put a top in your car, and then now it's a Muslim
today
compliant
car. Today is the brand new Hajib for a car. Come on down. Oh, man. So I could go at any minute.
Yeah, you could go any minute. And with your luck, I'm sorry, no, with the fish of luck that you have.
Right?
I would not be driving that vehicle.
Look for my Instagram post with a windshield jammed into my arm as I'm driving down the interstate at 75 miles an hour. My gosh, I got to shut up. That might happen. All right, so let's get to what the world is talking about today. Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl. Let's get to it.
Who won? I still don't know who won. I don't follow.
Kansas City Chiefs defeated the San Francisco 49ers. It was amazing. I said all along I was rooting for Kansas City, but I just felt like San Francisco was just really tough to beat. Their defense was tough to beat, and I thought that if Kansas City got behind like they had in the previous two games in the playoffs, that they wouldn't be able to come back like they had. Wrong. They got behind and still, I mean, the fourth quarter, amazing. They came back, won the game, just shut down San Francisco.
And more trivia was?
Correct.
Nice.
More trivia called
and
it.
And you guys finished?
Records aren't important. It's not
but
about
it's
the
important.
Records.
See, I heard
it's
you
not
say
about
that.
The records. It's about
I heard you.
Fun.
I heard you say that on Friday, and I was upset when you said that. I'm a records guy, so what was your record?
Nah, they're not important.
What's the record?
9-10.
9-10.
9-10. 9 wins, 10 losses on the season.
Okay, that's the more untrue.
So almost 500.
What makes it 500? Like 10-9? No, I know. Like, how many points do you get? Like, how do you get 500 from 9 wins?
Well, you can't.
Okay, so how do you get where you guys are now then?
So it's almost.
So what makes you get to 500?
If
10 wins?
If it's 10 and 10 or 9 and 9, 8 and 8.
But how does this number add up to 500?
It doesn't.
So how
don't
do you
bog, get don't bog me down with factual
I'm not bogging
numbers.
You. I'm trying
I'm
to learn this
it's
game.
It's almost 500.
Okay. Just trying to figure out how you get to 500 from 10.
We were correct. That's all I care about. We were
Did you
correct.
Put money
we called
down?
The Super Bowl. Oh man, it's not. First of all, more on trivia is for entertainment purposes only.
Well, that's
it's
dumb.
Not for, no, well, we look now. There have been people who have used it to enhance their wallet. We can't stop you. We just don't recommend it. The last few seasons have been really good when records were important and they counted and it was great.
Not this season.
Not this season.
Not this season. Okay.
This
okay.
season, you may have lost a couple of bucks.
Well, you lost 10 games. So.
But we won 9.
But you won 9.
Almost 500.
So you almost break even.
Almost 500.
Almost 500.
So the game, it was exciting. It was fun to watch and I was happy that Kansas City won. Good deal. I was also happy that Kansas City, Kansas won.
Yeah, what is all that about? I'm confused.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw that Trump was getting beat up. I read it. And I thought, oh, good. Yeah.
People like yourself wouldn't have gotten it.
Oh, okay. So this is
all right.
The snobs, the
well,
elitists.
Well, it's the people who are correct. The people don't who know what they're talking
you know what?
About.
I like my president. Right, he's so, like, don't bug me that much
I know.
Facts.
And he gets to write it off a little because Kansas City is a dual city.
Okay.
There is some of Kansas City in Kansas.
Okay.
And there is some of Kansas City, most of Kansas City, and the state that it's recognized for is the state of Missouri.
Okay.
If you're from Missouri, you have grown up hating Kansas, and you don't really recognize that part of Kansas City.
Is Kansas City inside Missouri?
And inside Kansas. You know,
and
Kansas,
inside
the state
Kansas.
Line runs through the city.
Okay.
All right. So there's Kansas City. What didn't I just say that? Are you? Am I,
well, it's
am I
a
not
lot of
making sense.
No, see, you're not because for me it's like, okay, so what?
Okay.
That's where I'm at right
because
now.
Because people in Missouri,
okay,
do not count Kansas.
Kansas. Oh, and they're dead.
Correct.
But Kansas does count them.
Probably.
Okay.
But since we don't like Kansas,
we don't like.
We
Kansas.
Don't like them.
Okay.
No, we don't. And people that are listening to this podcast in Kansas, I'm lying. I love you. You're the greatest thing ever.
No, but you said you don't like them.
No, I do, though. Oh, man. The salt mines in Kansas are just some of my favorite places on the planet.
Oh, Kansas is known by the salt?
Kansas is, you know, they have the salt mines. Yeah, they're the giant salt mines.
Oh, that's so cool.
A lot of people don't know that.
I do not know that.
I do because I'm a Kansas fan. However, I just will say that for years... my son went to the University of Missouri.
I was going to ask you, did he...
And so people from Missouri
uh-huh.
hate Kansas.
Okay.
Do not like Kansas.
So what the Trump did, just basically he spat yes. on their face.
Yes.
But not really.
But so what he should have... Well, because technically, some of Kansas City is in Kansas.
Okay.
It's just that the Chiefs are recognized really from being from Missouri.
Missouri. Okay.
And so then he deleted the tweet. Which I thought was a mistake.
Oh, absolutely. That's a Covfefe all over again.
He should have just left it. He should have just left it and then maybe replied to his own tweet saying, I know that's a good one. Yeah,
that's
he should have replied to his
one.
Own tweet.
Yes.
I know
I like
the people
that.
Of Missouri.
And make it a joke.
Yes.
Like he actually meant to
yes.
stir up the pot again.
Yes. Instead of by deleting it.
What, but, did you call Trump last night? You know, I got old girl's phone number if you want. Well, as you know, I got old girl's daddy's phone number if you want. Got Mike Huckabee's cell phone.
Some kind of him. I mean, yeah. some kind of some brush kind, with
you,
greatness.
You, know, you talk to Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee tells that
tells
to
his daughter. Daughter reaches daughter, out.
And then you all in.
Yeah.
And you're in.
But no.
No?
Nah, that didn't happen. But someone should have advised him of that.
Yeah, that's a good way to squash that.
Yes.
Because then you still have
but
the people. Like,
but you delete it.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Mistake.
You delete it. Now you're done. Now you're saying you screwed up. And, you know, it was dumb. You leave it and you reply to it with, I know, shut up. It was, you know, I'm just messing with you. It's Missouri, Kansas City, I love you.
And you just explain whatever you did in less than 140 characters.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And then you're good.
Oh, absolutely.
And the haters are still going to hate.
Yeah. But then the people like me will be like, oh,
see,
so it's okay.
It was joking around.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
But instead,
like
he
that.
Deleted it. And
oh, come on.
Now
Donnie.
It's over.
Donnie.
Now it's like you did screw up. You did sit there and do that while you were, you know, sitting on the toilet after the Super Bowl, and you shouldn't have done it because you just, I could take care of my own tweets. I'm the president.
Well, that's who he is.
I know.
So
I know. And then we had, you know, there's a, you know, everybody talking about the commercials, and we can break them down if you want. But
did you like any of the commercials?
Some of them were okay.
I watched them online.
Some of them were okay. You know, they were cute.
The only one that I liked was the Tom Brady.
Yeah, that was cute.
Because I was like, oh my God, he's going to announce he's retiring. I had that like vibe of like he's going to retire. And then it was just Hulu really pushing this crap that they really are not providing. Like, I'm sorry, but that script that he read, that's not what Hulu has in their programming. That's $5.6 million thrown down the toilet.
Right.
Because you're not providing that content that you advertise for.
So, you know, the Bill Murray Groundhog Day one was good.
I didn't watch that
one. I liked that one. You know, I liked that because, you know, I liked the...
You liked the Doritos one?
Yeah, it was all right.
I feel like it was... That kid, like, we are... He's overplayed now.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. Like,
I did enjoy the commercial at the beginning where the kid is running, and then he, you know, you knew halfway through they were going to end it with him running into the stadium at the beginning of the game. That was cool. I liked that, and they had all the stars in it.
That's pretty cool.
So you go get him, kid. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of Joe Montana during the commercial with the Garoppolo, the quarterback of the 49ers, playing in the Super Bowl carrying his bags. Hey, put the bags in the car. You gonna tip him? Yeah, I got a tip for him. I mean, it's funny, right? I mean, it's just kind of funny. I like the Hyundai Smart Park.
Oh,
it's funny.
That was funny.
Funny.
Way too strong though, with the whole Boston accent.
But that was the point.
Yes, right?
The over the top point of that.
And you had John Krakowski and
I had them both.
The
right?
chick from SNL and freaking Captain America.
Good,
great cast.
Right.
And who was the black guy from The Window that he yelled down from the window?
Oh yeah. What's his face? You know.
Football
you
football
know
player?
What's his face.
Was this football player?
You know what's his face.
Oh, and the big reveal.
That's what I was just going to.
We got to get to the big reveal.
Just going to. It's so bad.
Now, I think our idea was better.
Well, I think we still be maybe right.
Really? I didn't get the vibe, though.
Really?
No, I got a vibe of a millennial peanut. AKA baby
more
peanut.
I just want us to be right.
Yes. Yeah. And I could see like where people were like, there's like 25,000 people watching the stream that Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry.
And that's
baby peanut.
That's what we're talking about is the Planters peanut.
Yes.
And the rebirth.
The rebirth
from
of
the
Mr.
Peanut bush growing from the gravesite.
I love how people is like, peanuts don't grow like that. They grow underneath the ground. Shut up. I was so...
That's not the point.
The point wasn't that. The point was revealing the new Mr. Peanut, which I'm sorry. Disney,
so now we have Baby Yoda,
Disney
Baby
should
Peanut.
Be suing.
I think so, too.
Disney should
I
be
think
suing
so
right
too.
Now because that is completely a...
I know. Our idea would have been a lot better.
Yes.
Thank you.
You literally stole that from The Mandalorian.
I know.
That millennial who pitched you the idea... just got done watching Mandalorian and said, hey, we should do a baby peanut.
You know, then they had, right. I mean, we should do a baby peanut being rebirthed.
He was cute, though. He was cute. And I did watch him go to sleep, and I did spend maybe 2 hours of just watching baby peanut sleep because that's what the live stream was all about.
Wow.
So after he was birthed, he was in his room. And he did a little bit of dancing, and he did a little bit of eating. He did a little bit of continued dancing.
All Planters peanuts, around. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then...
he's eating himself.
At the end, he got tired, and...
well, that's what babies do, right?
You know, then the moon came out, the sun came down, moon came up, and the baby got into his crib and started sleeping. And I just sat there thinking that baby has to wake up at least, you know, every 4 hours the baby wakes up. To eat.
You felt like a real parent. I was just watching my baby sleep.
I did.
Isn't they so beautiful? Let me tell you, every kid is beautiful
when
they're sleeping.
Oh. Sorry. I think we're not synced up on that one. Maybe we talk about that next time.
Then we had the Audi commercial with Macy Williams singing Let It Go. Okay. Yeah, no. It was just the whole... Oh. The weather tech with the dog, but agonizing. But I know we loved it because the dog, and it's a beautiful thing. And Lucky the dog from last year's Super Bowl campaign just tugs on your heartstrings.
There wasn't any creature created by a company, was there? Remember, like, baby monkey.
Yeah, I don't think so.
There was no creature created, no. Right? That's a mistake.
And, you know, we could go, and, you know, there was tons of them that are okay. They were all okay. The internet kind of has soured the commercials, you know, but they're all trying to be PC, and we're all about everybody, and it's a wonderful thing. But then you get to the halftime show. And as long as we're recapping the Super Bowl, we can recap the halftime show. I liked Shakira. She was great. J-Lo was J-Lo, and that's what you get with J-Lo. Did I think it was horrific because of her dancing on a pole? No, that was her stupid movie. That was her latest movie. That's what they were. And the, what was it, The Hustler? Is that what it called? Hustler?
Yeah, The Hustlers.
Hustlers or whatever?
Yeah,
Hustlers, yeah. And that's what they were. They were strippers, and they were stealing from the rich guys.
I am so upset at the disgust of people saying,
I know,
this is literally, I cried.
I know.
I was crying because I saw my Puerto Rican flag being flown at the halftime show.
It was pride.
It was my entire culture being displayed, and then everybody was like, oh, strippers. There's a bunch of strippers up there, and booty and crotch shots. And I'm like, so you talk about being super diverse. I'm sorry, but that was the most diverse dancing I've seen.
And
you
that's what I said.
African dancing, but you had the Colombian dancing, you had the Puerto Rican dancing, you had literally everything was represented there. There was more women than men. There was some men dancing, but there's more women than men. There was a crowd of kids.
The crowd around the stage all had their little watch bands on.
With
the, it's all lit up for the show. J-Lo was J-Lo, which is, you know, she's...
That's what she and Shakira. Are you telling me
Shakira
that
was great?
The
I
girl
love Shakira.
That says her hips don't lie. You got offended because her hips were
no. Shakira
turning
was great.
Your husband on.
Shakira was 1,000 times better than J-Lo.
Absolutely,
always.
Yes.
And she, there's no question. She has been all along.
Yes.
I know this is J-Lo's year, and we're supposed
the
to bow down
party,
to
yes.
the great J-Lo, who's 50 and looks great. And
looks great.
Does she?
Yes.
Does she?
Well, next to Shakira, no. But 50, you are what? Can you go up on a pole and do that whole dancing?
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Yes.
No, you can't.
And I have an exercise pole in my home that
smart.
I use. Oh, man, I do that.
Even my wife, that is white as snow, was like, oh, my gosh, that is the coolest thing ever. Because they had the pole dancers.
Yeah.
And people were doing tricks. They were not sexualizing anything.
No, well,
it was
kind
tricks.
Of they were.
They were not Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, they kind of.
As
were.
A person,
I
that
don't
is,
care. But I'm just saying, it
as
was.
A
I'm fine with it.
That is married to a person that does all that stuff, aerial, whatever you call it, aerial stuff. Yes, aerial stuff. That was not stripping. They were just dancing and expressing themselves through interpretive dancing. But I was so pissed.
Wow, are you working for the NFL now?
No, I'm working for representing my
no,
freaking country.
Well, first of all, oh, don't even. Oh,
I was so
gosh,
happy when she took off that. I was like, oh, that's the American flag. And then she took it off.
And she was, oh, my gosh, no, it's not.
Well, she had it both.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And by the way, the daughter.
Great.
Great. And I just want to correct everybody that is listening. That singing gene, she did not get from J-Lo. She got that from daddy. If you did not know, her daddy is Mark Anthony.
Thank you.
So all
thank
of y'all out there
I,
that
I
just
thought the same
all of y'all said,
thing.
"Oh my God, J-Lo, that is not J-Lo, that is Mark Anthony." So that is daughter
yes.
of Mark
I
Anthony.
Mean, that was great that J-Lo loves her daughter and is
yes.
showing her off and giving her an opportunity. And
but that gene
great.
Is not from J-Lo. Yes, J-Lo yes. can dance and perform, but J-Lo
yes. She's,
can't sing as her daughter or as Mark Anthony.
Yeah, it's a little...
Yes.
Little.
So stop giving all the glory to J-Lo.
Yeah.
But you're going to give it to Mark Anthony because that's his daughter, too.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, great halftime show. 14 minutes of hurrah.
Then we had a couple other things from the Super Bowl that, you know, we have to get into. I love the... you won't know who he is, Wilford Brimley, the actor. He's the
are old, you serious? I know who he is. How dare you?
They were asking about Andy Reid looks like Wilford Brimley. the actor. And so they were questioning it on Twitter, and Wilfred responded. He's like 100. He responds from his Twitter account, "I'm the diabetes guy." Really funny. And he also responded that, "I can't believe people actually remember who I am," because he's, you know, 100 years old and hasn't been acting in a long time. He still rolls out, but he's been in Christmas movies, and he's been in some great movies. I love him. He's been in some good stuff. He's not a big person that you would be considered listening to the Blaze kind of guy. He is on the other side of the fence politically for a long time. So there's that. But it was funny. And then we find out, and I also love that where they send the jerseys. You know, both teams prints all this merchandise for winning. And then if you lose, your merchandise, do they burn it? Do they sit it on a shelf? No. They give it to needy people in other countries that they hope won't end up back here in the States. So somewhere around the globe in some, I don't know, Swaziland maybe, we'll have to ask our ambassador to Swaziland if he's seen San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl champ t-shirts on kids, because that's where they would send it. And so if you want some San Francisco won the Super Bowl merchandise, wait a couple days and check out some needy countries around the globe, and you just may get yourself a t-shirt. It's time to go to the break room. I need to drink a Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. I know it's not the new Super Bowl commercial Pepsi Zero Sugar. Oh, but I'm sticking to the Coca-Cola Zero Sugar today. And as long as we're in the break room, oh my gosh, look who's here in the break room. Dr. Michael P. Masters joining us today on Chewing the Fat. Dr. Masters, how in the world are you? Thanks for joining us on Chewing the Fat.
I'm doing great. It's fantastic to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You're welcome. So, Dr. Masters is the author of a book that talks about, UFOs. And do you consider them UFOs or UAPs, or what do you consider them, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, any of the terms from the past, I think, are applicable. They all kind of refer to the same thing, just different terms we've used over the years. But I think you're right, UAP is a more recent, more military-based term for them. But
and we've heard quite a bit. We've heard quite a bit from our military in the past year and a half, specifically the Navy, that have come up with some seeing the Kit Kat and the Tic Tac and whatever other little candy they want to name them, but they've had them in the air, and they've also, in that one report, they talked about seeing them underwater. With
the
maneuvers.
US,
yeah, which was really, really fascinating stuff. And that was kind of buried in that original report. But I thought, wow, I mean, that's something that, not a lot of people are talking about. So in your book, you claimed something that caught fire with a number of people, that you thought that the UFOs or UAPs were time traveling humans from the future.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I could not agree more. I could not agree.
A lot of things about the phenomenon certainly make sense in that context, especially if you look at not just the craft themselves and how the form of the craft seemed to indicate that they might have the function of returning to the past, but also the form of the alleged alien beings, Greys, especially as they're described. They have quintessentially human and hominin characteristics. They're bipedal, upright walking, which is the trait that we use to define our evolutionary lineage. They have all the same cranial facial features in the same places, and just a slightly more advanced form than what we see throughout the long history of human evolution on this planet, namely a bigger, rounder neurocranium, the upper skull, smaller face, more retracted face. So looking at all of that together, it kind of indicates that they're just us coming back through time.
So the book identified flying objects. A multidisciplinary scientific approach to the UFO phenomenon. Now, do you, in your educational life, do you teach this, or is this something you do on the side?
Well, I mean, of the vast majority of things in the book, I do teach. Yeah, it's really just applying the knowledge that we have developed over decades of finding fossil humans and fossil hominins, and really trying to put it in the context of the UFO phenomenon. So yeah, I teach all of the things in the book. But as you mentioned, it's multidisciplinary. I draw on modern research from astrobiology and astronomy and physics to build a case around this. But it really doesn't hinge on the UFO phenomenon. It just takes what people report and vetted accounts and things like the Tic Tac instance that you mentioned, more vetted accounts by police and military, and just applies our knowledge from these different scientific fields to what people are reporting to try to understand it in the best way possible. And I feel that sort of the Occam's razor approach is just they're us, the continuation of us into the future, both biologically and culturally, with more sophisticated technology.
I've often felt that, I've said this for quite a while now, I've often felt that we are so, what made me think that you're correct, and one of the, I always thought, I knew it, is that, you know, I thought that we're close as humans to, you know, we see the people say, have they, you know, they had looked like one eye, or, you know, the head was just a helmet-shaped head or whatever. I often thought that we're close now to, if I could, personally, just put on, say, for, you know, as a description, say, like a motorcycle helmet or a spacesuit helmet. And, you know, you have the glass where you can look live out to what's in front of you. But if that glass was a computer screen where you get readouts and pictures and be able to talk and communicate through that. If you were to travel and then come back, that's what we would see, right? I mean, that's what you're saying. That's what we're seeing. That's what's being reported. We're talking about, you know, the traveling of these beings and coming back. So, what do you make of how far, I mean, people are going to say, well, how come they're traveling in the future and coming back to see us? Do you feel like they're coming, they were here and left, or do you feel like we're like a, you know, a petri disc, and they're just coming back and seeing how it's growing?
Yeah, well, I don't think that we left and came back or went to another planet and came back from there. I think really they are just our descendants, in the same way that we can look at our ancestry going back 100 years, 100,000 years, 2 million years, and see that we're the result of that. We don't have the technology yet to go back and do it. But they require us to exist now and to continue to exist into the future for them to be in that future. So I think they're just our distant descendants. And the question of why is really fascinating, too. I mean, everything that's described in these abductions is exactly what I would do as a paleoanthropologist if I had access to this technology. So taking the hair samples, fecal samples, skin samples, and probing and prodding and trying to get as much information as possible. Currently, we're left with just fossilized bones and teeth. So if we had access to living tissues and we could study the culture and the technology of past peoples, I think that would be a really big incentive and maybe a big part of why they're doing it. And I wouldn't discount tourism either. I think time tourism could be a huge industry in the future and might actually even help in the development of time travel technology.
Well, when you talk about being able to go back and listen to what happened in the past, I mean, we just had the sound of a mummy, a 3,000-year-old mummy, that you know, they had the vocal box of that, and they're showing us how that sounds. I don't know if you heard that, but I was hoping that for more other than just
I've seen all the movies, so I know how a mummy sound in those, but at least the ones that
this was a little bit different
in,
that sound was a little
it
bit
probably
different.
Was Yeah, it was probably a little anticlimactic.
No, it was very anticlimactic. And I we'll play it for you in just a moment because I played it earlier in the show. And you're going to be, Doc, I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to want to use this in your educational, for educational purposes because, okay, so here it is.
Oh, there it is.
I mean, Doc. I mean, scientists have now claimed that this is what the 3,000-year-old mummy sounded like.
They really knocked it out of the park. Yes, they did.
So, I mean, we can go back, and we do have an idea of what the past sounded like. This was apparently an Egyptian priest, Nesyamun, 3,000 years ago.
His vocal cords. I doubt he had much of a following if he sounded like that. But who knows?
All I know is
take it back and be like, "Hey, this is what you sound like to us in the future."
All I know is he wanted to be allowed to speak in the afterlife, and now he is. And it's a
he got it.
Absolutely. So, and we just found out. Also, we're finding out now that what they said all along that there were different species. I mean, we're finding out now that you know, even Neanderthal man is part of us, right? I mean, we're finding out that we are all. I mean, we're all connected, right? Not
absolutely.
Not a separate
thing.
Yeah,
we all have. No, we all have common ancestry. In fact, everything alive on Earth today has common ancestry going back 3.7 billion years. But yeah, the Denisovans, the Neanderthals, we were all interbreeding. There was introgression. We were sharing genes, and we're the lone survivors. But yeah, they were all subspecies. We know now that we could and were reproducing with them.
So if I wanted to get a copy of Identified Flying Objects, the multidisciplinary scientific approach to UFO phenomenon by you, Dr. Michael P. Masters, how do I go about doing that?
I mean, it's on Amazon, but there's a lot of other places. There's an audio book on Audible and iTunes. And
wait, do you do the audio book?
I did, yeah. It took me 5 months and was mind-numbing, but... It was it was kind of fun too. I've done a lot of audio production. I'm in a couple bands and we've produced some CDs, and so nice. it was kind of a fun project. But and then, you know, ask your local bookstore. It's now available in Ingram as of yesterday. So I'd like to start getting it into bookstores, and it's a good way to kind of reach more people in different places.
So before we talk a little bit about your bands. In the book, you also talk about, you use a phrase that I found fascinating, and I want you to explain what you mean by it, a gap of gods. What do you mean by that?
Oh, godding the gaps?
Yes.
Is that what you... No, that's actually the term I learned in a freshman philosophy class, I think, back in college. But it's a tendency that people have had when we get to the end of our knowledge about something and we can't understand it anymore. We typically attribute it to a god or gods or some sort of spiritual force. And it's been a tendency throughout time to do that. And then as we slowly start to understand things in more quantitative terms, we roll that back a bit. But it's still a common tendency today.
So when do we actually get to... let me back up. Are we ready as a species to welcome these beings on this planet?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think so. Otherwise, I think they probably would have just plopped down by now and said, "Hey, it's us. We're you in the future." And I think that to some extent it helps explain that aspect of the phenomenon, because if you had humanoid creatures coming from across the cosmos to get here and all the time and effort it took to do so, you'd think they would introduce themselves.
Yeah, you would.
Being so covert in their activities and picking people up in remote parts of the world and dropping them off with clouded memories, I think it indicates that we're still seen more as research subjects and not quite on the same level. But, I mean, potentially, you know, if we all start to understand time and talk about time and the implications of time travel, it potentially could happen in our generation. We could have them decide, hey, yeah, I think they're ready to meet us and know more about humanity and a much broader sense of time.
How much do you believe in the, and obviously not all of them, because the internet brings out, fakers in all categories, but how much do you believe in some of the people who actually claim to be time travelers and have come back to tell us what the future looks like?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, It's hard unless they're giving us Powerball numbers and they check out.
Right, here we go.
Time. It's hard for me to really jump on board with that. And especially because a lot of the people saying they know things of the future, claim to be time travelers, they're not really in a position to divulge much or really have much of an impact.
Right.
So I think if that was the case, they would probably be a little more prominent in society and really easily able to prove that they do know what's to come.
On top of it,
I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, it also makes me feel like, maybe it's just because I'm a skeptical kind of guy, but if I were to be a time traveler, I don't know that I would share that on my YouTube channel.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
I may
might not be the first thing you mention in cocktail parties and trying to pick up.
Keep that kind of low profile. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this weekend, I'm in the shower and I'm thinking of you. Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking of you. And I'm thinking, how can people look at themselves in the mirror and like themselves if they've not a subscriber to Chewing the Fat? And I don't have an answer. The only way to solve the problem is to subscribe to Chewing the Fat. So if you're listening to this broadcast and you're not a subscriber to Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, the only way to solve being able to look at yourself in the mirror again is to be a subscriber. So you could subscribe on iTunes. You could subscribe on Spotify. You can subscribe on Google Podcasts. You could subscribe on Stitcher. You can subscribe on a plethora of platforms out there that warm the cockles of your heart. Just not SoundCloud. Just not SoundCloud. All the others, though, all good. Subscribe to Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Download and subscribe to more content at theblaze.com/podcasts.
Subscribers, just for you. I continued my chat with Michael Masters about his book and about his life, and you, as a subscriber to Chewing the Fat, get the final portion of that interview. So where do you teach, Doc?
I teach at Montana Tech. It's a science and engineering school in Southwest Montana.
How's life in Southwest Montana? A little nippy, a little cold?
It is today, but I tell you, we've had some beautiful weather. It's up around 60 yesterday or 2 days ago, and everybody gets out the shorts and shorts and a t-shirt. It's some of my favorite things to do in life.
I believe that. If it's one of your favorite things, you might consider, I don't know, moving someplace that, is warmer.
Well,
you could do that every day.
You can't downhill ski, though, in shorts and a t-shirt in those places. That's what I love about it, is just getting out on the mountain with bright sunshine and warm weather, sliding down a hill.
So you're not out bear hunting?
Not right now. It's not bear season, but I am an avid hunter. Nice. Elk and deer, bow.
Well, you live in Montana. That's a great place to do it.
Yeah, so, we don't buy meat anymore.
You're in a college town. That must be where you're performing with your band. What are you producing with your band? I'm fascinated now that you this is your little side hobby of performing. You said you made some CDs. I mean, what are you doing?
It's fun. I play keyboards and mandolin and guitar with a couple bands. Name of our band is the Red Mountain Band. We've been around for about 7 years and traveled around different parts, usually within the state, and playing festivals and weddings and bigger gigs. There's six of us in the band, so it kind of takes a good amount of cash before we decide to get out and do it. But I play in a couple smaller bands too, mostly piano on those. But yeah, it's fun. It's a great way to kind of break up the day and de-stress and go out and jam and travel around a bit.
I love it. All right, so the book is Identified Flying Objects. Is there anything in the book that you thought, wow, this is really fascinating and nobody picked up on?
Yeah, there were a couple little things, or even some things that people would criticize me for, and I'm like, well, actually, that's on page 274 in chapter 7, and then they'd go back and say, okay. there's little things in there. The biggest challenge in the book was trying to find a happy medium where it makes sense to the layperson and also to my academic peers. And the beta readers I had, and especially the peer reviewers, I think really helped to kind of narrow in on that middle ground. So it's readable to anyone. It's written for anyone. But I hope it would still be challenging or interesting to my academic colleagues.
All right. Well, so what's the number one thing that you thought, man, I'm going to get pummeled for this, and nobody picked up on it?
I'd say it's not necessarily something that I thought I'd get pummeled for, but something I thought more people would pick up on. And it has to do with the way in which we would go deeper into the past, where in order to travel into the past, and I'll try to make this as short as possible, to reorient light cones toward that past. So we have to warp space-time in a way that we're still locally traveling into the future, but we're going into the global past. So that it's pretty well known how that would happen, really, since Einstein published his general theory of relativity in 1915. There's been solutions to his field equations that have hashed that out. But what I contributed, which I, as far as I can tell, is original material, is that you'd also draw from special relativity, traveling a very high rate of speed to go into the deep past, because you go into the future of the past while those light cones are reoriented toward it. Nobody really picked up on that. And I thought it was kind of a contribution that I felt I was making to understanding how backwards
how that would happen. Yeah.
And how we might get into the deep past. I mean, how we move faster into the past through time. Maybe I should have talked about it more. It's just a couple paragraphs. I'd say if I had to pick one, that would probably be it.
Dr. Michael Masters, identified flying objects, a multidisciplinary scientific approach to UFO phenomenon. Hey, Doc, thank you for coming on to Chewing the Fat today. I appreciate it. It was an interesting talk. And if you have anything else you'd like to share in the future, let us know. Happy to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks again for having me on.
As you know, when Chewing the Fat records,
news happens.
And we do have some breaking news now. Do we have the... Thank you for listening to Chewing the Fat. We've got a live report, our man on the street reporting live from Twitter. Jeff Fisher, our man on the street, live from Twitter. Jeff, how's it going out on the streets?
That's fine. I've got an interview here with the man on the street. Hello, sir. Are you from Twitter?
Yes, I'm from Twitter.
And we have a live report from Twitter?
We do. We do have a live report from Twitter.
Go ahead. What is that live report, sir?
From the account of Baby Nut.
Which is Baby Nut? Is that the planner's peanut thing?
That's the brand new, you know, peanut. Goober, goober, gaga.
Goober, goober, gaga.
Excuse me, Jeff, did your man on the street just say goober, goober, gaga? Was that the tweet?
I think that's right, Jeff. Hold on. Excuse me, man on the street from Twitter. What was it again?
Goober, goober, gaga.
Yep, Jeff, that's what it was. Goober, goober, gaga.
Okay, thank you. Wow, I mean, when Chewing the Fat records,
news happens.
And
news goober, did happen.
Goober, gaga, that's sad. I can't believe you're following that stupid Twitter account.
Who isn't following
I have so much news to get to today, and I just don't have time. I mean, I've got great royal stuff. I've got
great royal stuff.
Madonna stuff.
Oh no, hold on. Did she cancel?
She's on a vacation tour where she's going to perform once in a while. It's amazing.
Just quit, baby. Just quit.
I know. I've got stuff about the coronavirus. Now experts believe it's will become a pandemic.
And that is what?
Thank you.
Really? That's what that was?
That's what that is.
Okay.
Yes, I don't know if you know that, but that's what that is. Shall I read you what a pandemic is?
Which is what I wanted you to do, but you decided to play the Walking Dead music. So
it's an epidemic of disease.
Really? We couldn't just say that? We have to say...
I'm just saying, that's what a pandemic is.
So...
It's an epidemic of disease.
Epidemic of disease.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. I mean, thank you. Need to say more?
I mean, I don't want to. Okay, here you go. I'll give you the actual... It means that it has spread out across a large region of the Earth.
Right.
That's all.
So there's nothing. I know because
again, you can quote me on this, and this is something that I was quoted on, I think, either Thursday or Friday of last week. And you can. I want you to go ahead and quote me on this again because
I'm writing it down.
No one has said this. I don't think publicly.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Except for me.
You're about to say it right now. Live.
I'm gonna say it again.
Oh, you're gonna say it so again?
Because I said it on Thursday or Friday.
Oh, you already said
it. I didn't see any reports on it.
No one caught it.
Did you go
to Mediaite?
I did not.
Media Matters.
I should tag him in my post.
Yeah,
all right?
You should.
This coronavirus will get worse before it gets better.